This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is going to be a fun show today. And since it is a Friday, we will do our Friday shout-outs all day long. If you want to get involved, 877-881-1053, or feel free to drop them in the Dallas Fan Cam on that Twitch. Our question to start things off, it can be a Cowboy player, it can be not a Cowboy player. Which players are you actually excited to see play in the preseason? Because I have to admit, most of mine trended away from not Cowboys players.
What?
That I'm excited to see in the preseason. Well, what? I guess we can start with that. What Cowboys players are you excited to see?
Sam Williams.
Okay.
I'm really excited to see him. And now, like, I do want to ask Mickey a little about Tyron Smith's limping off the field and how that affects. Would Tyler Smith be the best option? I do want to see if Tyler Smith can forklift somebody else, if he could just pick somebody else and throw him. But those two are definitely the first two people I think of. I can't wait to see what they're doing on the field. Sam Williams was crazy man in practice, so let's go see if he does it on the field again.
Okay, and the rookies always make sense to me, though, in this instance. Also, your Noah Browns. I'm interested to see, since it feels like we're trending towards that direction, that he will be one of your potentially, I guess, probably starting receivers for the first couple of games of the season, or for however long that Michael Gallup is out. But it's actually across the rest of the NFL in which I'm more intrigued by who is going to play. You mentioned something in the crosstalk. I don't know if you were joking or not, but Deshaun Watson. I mean, you talk about some of the most outside noise in the history of football for somebody who's going to play a game, preseason or not. I am curious what Deshaun Watson is going
to
do.
No doubt. Well, like, is he going to go out there and say, I have to get in rhythm, I have to find, you know, something for, you know, just to feel like football again, because I haven't played in so long? What do I need to do to start getting these guys to understand my leadership style whenever we're out on the field together? So I would say Deshaun Watson is, I think most eyeballs are going to be on him. Any eyeballs that can get to him, because people are, for whatever reason, going to want to see him. You know, if they hate him or if they love him or whatever.
Well, Deshaun Watson isn't playing this year, but it will be the one time to get to watch him play.
That's what's so weird.
I was golfing with Derek Holland yesterday, and I said, so how are you handling this Brown season? Right. And he's like, well, I hope that, you know, it would be, just to put it this way, if we were the Cowboy, if it happened to Dak Prescott,
yeah.
I know it didn't, and I know it probably wouldn't, but if it happened to Dak, we would probably say, gosh, I hope he plays at some point, because it is your team.
Yeah.
As bad as what Deshaun Watson, I think, did.
And you feel like the season lives or dies whether he plays.
But he said, Derek, I'm going with his Browns. You know, he's like, you know, I think we can still win some games, but I'm probably not expecting to make the playoffs because of this.
Okay.
So now, it's kind of like, but I would look at, for me,
okay,
I'm going with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
Those
are the two guys that, for preseason, I just wonder if we see something better than last year. I know it's preseason still. I know it's like they're not going to be doing a whole bunch of different, you know, complex blitz schemes against them and trying to confuse them the way it looked like at times, especially Zach Wilson was confused last year. But accuracy, getting the ball out quicker, because it's not like both those guys have the best offensive lines. I think the Jets have a better offensive line, but I think those two guys, because there's no rookie quarterbacks this year that are really going to play, especially early in the year. Those two guys were supposed to be can't-miss guys, so I wonder what they look like in their second year.
Yeah, those were two of the four that I had on my list. Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence. The other two I had were Trey Lance, Not surprising. Oh, yeah. Just because, like, but also Travis Etienne is, I became a fan of him, I don't know, a few months back when he was like, well, I guess if I was ever going to miss a season, last year would have been a good year to miss. And I just thought that that was hilarious. And I wonder if, like, other people in the Jags organization thought it was funny or not. But it seems like the way they set it up, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne were going to be two of their guys going forward. But does the new regime look at this and they're like, hey, why the hell did you draft him to begin with? What kind of usage is he going to get? So I'm fascinated by both of those players as well.
Yeah, because James Robinson is a, like, your traditional running back. You know, he's a Nick Chubb type guy where you're like, just give him the ball and let him run. Give it to him 25 times and he's going to get you the yards that you need for the day. And you're going to be satisfied with the 100 yards and the touchdown that he probably gives you. Etienne is kind of a more explosive receiver out of the backfield. Really good running back out of the spread formation. And can he be a guy that's a between the tackles guy? I don't know. And I don't even know if they'll try to turn him into that. But I want to see how that goes together so I can know which one to draft in fantasy. That's for sure. Like, those are those little things that you're trying to figure out for fantasy football. I will say one guy that you might be excited to see more of, you saw last night, and that's Malik Willis. Willis had, 30 plays last night, had a couple of throws that were, like, that's a pro throw right there. That looks really good. And then got the opportunity to run the ball, and he ran right through everybody. So I think that's another – you saw it last night, but in the future, in a couple of weeks here, I think Malik Willis is going to be a guy you're going to be going, can we see more of him and less of Tannehill?
Now, of course – that's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. They were, of course, though, Corey, no match for the mighty Baltimore Ravens, who are the greatest juggernaut of a preseason team.
What's the 19 in a row?
21 in a row! Jeez. Man, that was something interesting when we talked with Quentin yesterday. He goes, look, you just go ahead and bet on the Baltimore Ravens. I was like, yeah, that's a good point. For whatever reason, they care a lot about winning the preseason.
And,
games.
You know, the more I keep forgetting this when going into the season. Last year, they had injuries everywhere. Especially, their ninth or tenth running back by the time the season started. Yeah. And I don't think that had anything to do with the way that they play the preseason. I just think there were some fluky things. I keep not picking that team thinking, oh, they're just kind of right there. If they're a healthy team, that could be all the difference for them, man. They could be in a very different situation as far as their record goes at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, I've got some bad news across the board here. Somebody texted in Tyler Linderbaum. He is still hurt. Though I know Harbaugh's like, he doesn't have a Liz Frank foot fracture. And they're like, well, what is it? And he's like, well, don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. But it's not that one thing. But then Daniel Jones still exists in the world. And if you saw him last night, he was what he always was.
What was the stat line, Kevin?
Did he fall down running again when it looked like he had a touchdown? Remember that play he had in his career?
I did not see that. But, Reggie, he was 6 of 10 for an ever-so-sexy 69 yards.
Nice.
Just so you could say that, but otherwise, if you throw the ball 10 times and that's what you come away with, you're like, okay, well, that's not overly impressive.
Was Tyrod Taylor better?
I mean, sure, as long as some Nimrod in the medical staff doesn't accidentally puncture his lungs. I do think
that's the best thing that ever happened to the Chargers.
With the emergence of Justin Herbert, that could be true. It sucks for Tyrod Taylor because I'm sure nobody would have thought, hey, you're going to lose your job to this rookie we highly drafted. And you'd be like, okay, well, I could potentially see that. A follow up. Hey, you're going to lose your job, not because of immediate poor play or anything, but because somebody from the medical staff of our team is going to puncture your lung. What? Like, did they punch me? No, it's a medical procedure.
Yeah, it's a needle. Well, then keep the needle away from me. I'm scared of needles anyway.
Yeah.
We can't. We have to do this.
That's a very fair point right there.
All right. So, is it fluky that Tom Brady is missing the preseason game against Miami?
Okay, because of the collusion.
The whole collusion thing. Yeah, you didn't want to deal with getting beat by Tua.
I don't think that's the case, because why would he even be in that game?
Is Tua starting? Is he going to get his?
I think they did say he was going to play like a quarter.
I did see, like, from Barstool, like, he missed a across the field pass by a lot. Did you guys see that?
I did not.
You know, when you're scanning through Twitter, it was just like, Tua looks like Tua still and missing. And I was like, well, nobody video record Dak Prescott on those routes either, please.
I really like the defiance in which Tua carries himself, because they were talking about, oh, like, what do you think about they're trying to get Tom Brady and everything? He's like, well, guess what? I'm still here. And, like, I like that level of defiance because, man, for somebody who we're not that many years removed from tank for Tua, and that's what everything is going to be about. And now here we are, and the kid's like 24, and everyone's like, he sucks.
I don't know, but if he doesn't hurt his hip on that play, then he's probably the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there really wasn't a debate going into that season. Maybe things would have changed even if he had been.
Because Burrow had an insane season.
Right, but I mean, it's interesting, and that's where there's this hope of, hey, we thought of him in 2020 as going to be a star quarterback in the NFL before the hip injury, and he hasn't looked right. We kind of found out, I don't want to say maybe he's not smart, but maybe we found out he's lazy. Remember, they're like, well, I didn't really study that hard, so this year I'm going to study hard.
Which that has felled many a promising, I was going to say quarterback, but probably not just quarterback, many a promising athlete throughout their career. From the 903, I want to shout out my dad. He's turning 71 on Sunday, and I'm taking him to his first Rangers game in the new stadium.
Nice.
So that sounds like a heck of a birthday right there. Have you started to dive in to the conspiracy theories about what's up with Brady, or do you think that's like disrespectful or not relevant?
No, I mean, I listen to them all. I want to know, like, family vacation that was previously planned to Bora Bora or something like that.
I'm a fan of that one, because if you're Tom Brady, you could be like, yeah, no, I'm going on vacation, so.
Yeah, with the family. I've played preseasons before. Yeah. I've also won championships. Yeah. Do you think I need to play this one this year?
Yeah, we'll be okay.
And, like, Bucks fans, did you get this greedy all of a sudden that you're like, yeah, we have to win 3 championships. Like, you have to win them right now. Come on, man. Y'all got lucky that Tom Brady landed in your lap and gave y'all a championship.
I know it's lovely and hopeful for Cowboys fans, but the one I also saw is he's reconsidering his retirement.
I mean, great.
That would be fantastic. And then the other one, which I still feel like is probably, unfortunately, the most logical, is that someone in his inner circle or family is having health problems and he needs to be there with them, which, again, like I said, that would be very unfortunate if that was the case. As long as we're doing shout outs, do you guys mind if I take just a quick minute?
I'll be back.
Okay,
we'll try.
Well, I mean, you can definitely stay.
We'll grade it after you say it.
Okay,
we'll
grade, let me know. I want to shout out the Tolos. This is going to be my last show here for at least a few weeks.
It was a good run, Kevin.
Not forever. I'll be back. But we've about reached that time.
Was it yelling at Mike on
I want to stay married, so I will not be on the Zoom. Is baby Noah is either going to come this weekend or we are going to go to the hospital and prep for inducing labor on Monday. So one way or another, we have reached the end of one journey and the start of a next. And the reason why I wanted to shout out the Tolos, yes, the fake baby is real, from the 972, this has been a really, really hard journey for us, and you guys have been really supportive the entirety of the way. Y'all always give us kind words and say, I don't know if it matters to you. Well, it definitely matters to you, and y'all matter to us, hence why we tell you about our lives. And, you know, I thought we were going to have a baby when we had Zachary, and then Jess had a miscarriage, and then we got pregnant again, and we were going to have Connor, and then she had another miscarriage. And if you guys were listening, now it's probably about 6 months ago, there was the show that felt like it was going to go down as the worst day of my life, and I just left right before the noon segment because Jess called me and said, hey, I'm bleeding and it's a lot of blood. And I thought we were about to have and sorry if it's too early for that kind of graphic discussion, I apologize, I thought we were about to have our third miscarriage, and I didn't know what was going to happen after that, if we were going to go adoption, I didn't know what was going to happen, but went to the doctor, heard the baby's heartbeat. He said everything was okay, and it went from being like what I felt is going to be the worst day of my life to the best day of my life. So you guys have been with me and very supportive the entire way. We've even had Tolo send baby presents to the house or bring them up to the studio. So I cannot thank you guys enough for being super cool every single step of the way. I very much appreciate it. And so today will be my last show for a few weeks, but I will be back, assuming we don't get canceled in the meantime.
Okay, and you said you wanted our audience to possibly bring lunch to the show today?
Yes. What?
Placenta.
No. Oh, I forgot about that. Monday night.
No. Possibly. Okay.
Or this weekend.
Fine, Mike. This was your idea. Yeah. You said you wanted lunch. Are you willing to give up lunch for Corey's bit?
Mm-hmm. I think he meant pancetta.
Yeah. We're going
to... Well, because he said placenta. Are you willing to go along with his bit, knowing it could cost you somebody bringing you lunch?
Would you eat placenta today? I mean, you don't need it.
I feel like it has to be your spouse's placenta.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, because then it would be weird. I have to bake that one.
50% yours,
Kevin. There was a question, and I'm kind of concerned about this. Yes. You are not telling us that you're leaving with the baby situation and then going to another radio station and working for them, right?
No, I guarantee you, if I am given the forum, I will come on here and say, I am leaving to go here. I promise you that. I'll be out for a few weeks with the baby, and then I will be back. That's all there is to it. I promise there is no hidden agenda.
You're not going to be a reporter for some other station, right?
Hell no.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to make sure.
No, I promise. I promise.
We've had our
I
hearts promise. Kind of, you know, wavering a lot lately. Okay. And just want to make sure that we have some
clarity. Now I see what
clarity.
This is in reference to. Okay. I did not totally understand that at first. But yes. Right. No, I promise I will be back, assuming the show keeps rocking along and y'all will still have me back. I will be back in a couple of weeks. But yes, we're still going to do the show. We're going to rock along. Mike will do an even better show if you bring lunch up to the show. I guarantee you that. But
you won't be able to break down this preseason game.
That is fair, and I'm sad about that. So thank you guys very, very much. Coming up next, live from Denver, and maybe inspired by the joint practice and ready to fight, it's our Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105 Through the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan, where Reggie said it would have been better if I said paternity leave.
Oh,
so
yeah,
perhaps
sense.
Paternity leave would have been better.
Babycation.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. From the 214, Kenny and Quinlan. You know he's a great Tolo and a huge fan of the G-Bag Nation as well. Congratulations. And also shout out to my little league travel team, elite 8 and 10-year-old grandsons. They are the best. They said, I'll drink another margarita with that. So like I said, what you think and what you drink and always staple the G-Bag Nation, especially on Fridays. Now we talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider live from Denver. It's Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going, guys?
Mickey, I'm great. Thank you for asking. I want to know your thoughts on Kevin taking 2 weeks off for babycation as he is leaving the show today and he's taking time. Do you think he should get back to work quickly? What are your thoughts here?
You know, I think that's a pretty good idea at this time.
Okay. Getting back to work.
Maybe
quick.
1 week. I don't know about two, though.
Because it's football season, right? Like, this is the time to work, right?
Well, at least it's not real games, right? And so,
come on, Mickey. You're supposed to be hyping that preseason game up. Don't say that.
He'll be back in time for the regular season to begin, right?
There you go.
Exactly.
All right. Good. You know what? You planned this perfectly, Kevin. You did. Y'all planned this perfectly.
Yeah, you're right. All of this definitely went how I envisioned in my head at the very beginning. All right. So, Mickey, a lot of buzz about, you know, more buzz than usual about a practice because it's a joint practice. What were some of your takeaways from yesterday's practice?
Yeah, I thought that. It was highly spirited. pretty emotional. And I thought the Broncos, you know, they kind of played to their crowd, and they might have came in a little bit more fired up than the Cowboys did for this deal. But I think one thing we have to remember, you know, especially with that Cowboy offense, you know, we think of Dak and Zeke and, you know, the offensive linemen, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin. But it's really kind of a young unit. And I think some of those young guys weren't quite ready for how physical the Broncos wanted to play, even though it was, you know, they weren't tackling. But there was a lot of thumping up. There ended up being a lot of skirmishes that Mike McCarthy warned his players not to get involved in, but they had no choice. So I think that part kind of stood out, and I think they learned a really good lesson going up against another team, and will be more ready Saturday night for an actual game. I think the other thing that stood out is Micah Parsons. While he terrorizes Cowboys offensive tackles and offensive linemen in training camp, he did the same to the Broncos. People just can't block him. It's just absolutely amazing how good he has been and how good he will be going forward, this being just his second year in the league. I thought the other thing that stood out to me was the hookup between Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. The Broncos, for all their bravado, had problems with CeeDee Lamb. They had problems covering him, and he and Dak really had a connection going, especially on the touchdown pass where he basically turned the cornerback around, made a break inside, and Dak threw the ball just when he was making the break. And I swear I was standing right there, and it felt like the ball was in the air for 5 seconds before CD actually got to it and caught it. So those were some of the things that stood out, other than how hot it was, and the altitude is real.
Now, you said something about the bravado of the Broncos, and I was kind of curious, like, do you feel like people usually walk out of these joint practices and say, I know it's not a game or anything, but like one team won and one team lost? Because there was some stuff on social media, the Broncos won this practice. Like, do you ascribe to that kind of idea?
I don't know if you know, it's a win. I think that they were more assertive than the Cowboys were. And what happens is, so there's, I don't know, that they tried to say there were 7,000 people sitting on that hill. I'll give them four maybe. But, you know, you got the fans cheering. The guys were playing to the fans at some point, you know, kind of urging them on. And I think that created more of the emotional aspect. I watched mostly the Cowboys offense. I didn't get a chance to get over and watch the defense all that much. But I think the Cowboys offense made plays, but it seemed like when the Broncos made a play, it was a big deal, and their whole sideline was jumping up and down and going crazy, including some of the coaching staff, too. I think the Cowboys had taken a more calmer approach to the game, or to the practice. I said game, right? Because at times it seemed like the game, right? And it'll be interesting to see the Cowboys' reaction Saturday in the preseason game, although we're probably not going to see many of the main event players for the Cowboys in that game.
I'm kind of curious, the health of Tyron Smith after that. Have we discussed that yet? Because I know he kind of limped off the field late.
No, it was early.
Oh, early?
He sprained an ankle. My understanding is, and it was in one of the first you know, series that he would have been in there, my understanding is he went back in, finished the reps that they had already prescribed, and then they held him out the rest of the way. It didn't seem to be too big of a deal since basically he went back in. I think the two injuries they were worried about was Ian Bunting,
Ridgeway,
neck injury. Yeah, that that boy, when he went down, I was really concerned about him because he just kind of collapsed. But it turned out, you know, they'll do more tests on him, but it was his neck. And I saw him later. He was walking towards the locker room on his own. So, you know, that was a good sign. And then John Ridgeway sprained a knee. All they can do was x-ray it. They were happy with what they saw in the x-ray, but I would imagine he's heading for an MRI to see if there's any more serious damage with ligaments in the knee.
Dare we ask for a prediction, or is that absolute insanity in a preseason game?
I think it's sanity, and anybody that goes to Vegas and lays lunch money or dinner money on a preseason game should have their head examined.
Unless you're betting on the Ravens.
Yeah, if you're betting on the Ravens, it's a guarantee you're winning cash.
Well, what am I missing there?
They have now won 21 consecutive preseason games.
Preseason games.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if you're gonna bet, Mickey, make sure you're betting
Mickey
on the,
is not
on the
impressed.
Ravens.
Listen,
preseason.
Here's the lesson I learned in 1989. So it would have been Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones' first preseason with the Cowboys. The last preseason game was against Houston. They won the game on a last-second walk-off field goal, and they went off field, arms, fists up in the air, running and jumping and celebrating. And I think they might have finished that preseason like 3-1.
Oh, in your face.
And then 1 week later, they go to New Orleans and got the ever-loving daylights knocked out of them, 28-0.
Not so good.
So that taught me about celebrating any sort of victories in the preseason.
Well, appreciate the insight as always. Good, sir. Thanks for the dual practice breakdown right there. We will catch up with you on Monday.
No, you won't.
Okay, see you guys. Will. Talk to you next time from Oxnard.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got to get some more of those shout-outs in from the 817. Shout-out to my art teacher friend, Karen. She got a dream job at an arts academy. Woohoo!
Nice.
That is incredible. And then shout-out to Bill Russell, who will have his number 6 jersey retired league-wide. There's it was a really interesting but somewhat shocking segment this morning where Sean and RJ debated the merits of this.
What?
And Sean was like, what are we even talking about? And RJ was like, I don't know. Do we really need to be retiring this jersey? Nobody knows that number 6 is Bill Russell. And I found that to be a stunning turn of events.
I really was interested from the perspective of like leagues retiring the jersey all the way around the league. I don't know necessarily how much I love that, but I mean, if we're talking about the merits of the person doing that, Bill Russell's up there for sure.
Yeah.
If it's just one person, like in the history of the league, that like with Jackie Robinson, that makes sense. Like that's a great one to have up there. I do wonder, like, when you look at the rest of the NBA, that's one number. Are you going to do it again ever? I mean, maybe not. Maybe? Like, I
at this point, I would say probably not.
I mean, like, he stayed committed to the game far after, too.
Yeah.
Like, he was always around. So, and all the other things that he did and who he was, like, the legend that he is, it absolutely stands up, man.
Someday, TB12 for football.
Who is there a football number? Is there a number retired?
It's retired across the league.
Okay.
There's only 3 leagues that have it. Obviously, baseball, we've established with 42. Basketball now with Bill Russell. And 99, Gretzky
hockey,
in NHL.
Yeah.
I've heard of him. He's going to have a good career at something.
He already did it.
Yeah. His daughter married a golfer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good for her.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up
Dustin Johnson.
It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike. Will it be about baseball or lunch?
Field of Dreams.
Okay.
Lunch.
Cole Reagan's. And I guess lunch. This sounds good. I'm excited. Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan on a shout-out Friday from the 214. Shout-out to my wife, starting her 13th year teaching theater, hardest working person that I know. And on the flip side of the educational spectrum, shout-out to my daughter, Olivia, who is starting college at Tarleton State University. Feel free to send those shout-outs in all day long. And now it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All right, so last night, we'll get to the Rangers here in a second. The big night for Major League Baseball regular season as, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa.
Same thing. Happened again.
So you had Field of Dreams number two, and luckily they didn't make a Field of Dreams number two because that would have been weird.
What, are you talking about the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if you build it, they will come. You could have then done a second movie, I guess, on just all these people watching Babe Ruth and
built it.
Shoeless Joe Jackson. Now they're all here.
But like now it got too commercialized. Yeah. There's like a Ferris wheel and all this, and then the ghosts run amok of the park because they don't like what's happening.
And they would have got away with it if it wasn't for those darn kids.
I will watch that movie.
Then the internet happens. I mean, you could have just kept doing like Field of Dreams like Rockies.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Babe Ruth is just like, his whole story is different because of Twitter. You know,
the ghosts decide to unionize.
The paparazzi.
They help us defeat communism. Like, I'm in on all of this.
Wow.
Then you go, not a Hall of Famer. I saw him play as a ghost.
Yeah. What was his war? Yeah. What was his ghost war?
His launch angle stunk.
So. This is what it sounded like. They tried to do something cool. They had it last year with Kevin Costner. Unbelievable moment.
Oh, no.
Here is how it sounded on television, as I'll just give it. This is Ken Griffey Sr.
Yep.
And Ken Griffey Jr. coming out of the cornfields.
Hey, Dad. You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
And that's then, nice.
And it's like the end of the movie where everybody does cry. But, well, I won't say everybody. I cried in that moment. Like, that was an awesome moment. And then Ken Griffey Sr. dropped the ball. That is dropped the ball. And then the crowd goes,
oh, come on.
And then I think a whole bunch of random people ran out and started playing catch. And
they were probably father and son.
No, it was like daughters and, and like friends. And I mean, there were some other father, sons and stuff, but it was tough to recreate what happened last year.
Especially with the Cubs and the Reds.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like, and that's not a matchup that the regular season went sideways on them. Like, I think people could have told you going into the season, these teams probably aren't going to be super great.
I think regionally it might have been the decision there since that's not that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Pretty close both to Iowa. Okay. Maybe they figured they could get
the
fans
Iowa Cubs.
Of the team.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. The Iowa Cubs are there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, it happened. And it's not going to happen again next year. I saw where Harold Reynolds, which this becomes a little bit difficult, but he had a decent idea. And I'm sorry I'm forgetting the park's name and everything, but he was like, let's go to like a historical Negro League park.
Oh, yeah.
And if Field of Dreams is out, because you guys mentioned yesterday, it's out for at least a year.
Yeah.
Is what if you did a historic game at a historic Negro League park that's maybe still, you know, going on?
Like Hinchcliffe Stadium in Patterson, New Jersey.
That's the one that he wants. Yeah, that could be cool and different.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
I support that.
I'm reading right now Willie Mays' book 24. And you know, I didn't know which Negro League team he played for until reading the book. He played for the Black Barons in Birmingham. Okay. And so it's interesting in the book. The Birmingham Barons, the minor league team of the Boston Red Sox at the time, obviously, no black players at that level there. And the Red Sox coaches, who would then watch the Black Barons play some when they were using the park, said, hey, you got to go get this Willie Mays guy. I know he's 18, but this is the next, like, great player in baseball. And immediately Boston Red Sox were like, we don't have black players in our organization, and we never will.
Yeah, good call, Boston. Really great job you did there.
59 was the last year. They were the last team, I believe, 1959. So 47, Jackie Robinson happens. I believe 1959 is the year the Red Sox gave in and finally had a non-white player on their team.
Not surprising given the racist history and perhaps present of that team. But you're telling me they sold Babe Ruth and were like, we don't need Willie Mays.
But yeah,
some good work they've been doing out there.
It was interesting because a lot of teams were coming after Willie Mays, but a lot of teams then were like, well, we already have a black player on the team. We don't need one. Well, you know, he's great, but we need superstars. And because he's 18, we're not sure how quickly he can be a superstar. So
yeah,
it was the Giants who, I guess you can say, took the risk. There were plenty of people who wanted him, but then other people in organizations going, no, we don't want him. So,
yeah, and I this is maybe a different conversation, a bigger conversation, but that was always the thing about Jackie Robinson is people acted like this was an altruistic venture as they were like, it's been long enough. We need to break the color barrier. Maybe there was part of that too, but I also think they were just like, holy crap. This guy's really good at baseball.
Yeah.
He can help us win.
So in Willie Mays' second season, so he plays his first season in Trenton after getting drafted out of high school, and he graduated high school at 19 years old, not because of like any type of he failed or anything. He's actually playing professional baseball and going to high school, and he graduated right about when he turned 19 years old. And then pretty much right after he graduates, he goes to Trenton, New Jersey to start playing baseball. I think it's called Class B League or something. Like, it's not like A-ball, AA, AAA back then. But then the next year, he goes to Minnesota, and I believe he only plays like 35 games there because he's batting .477 at the highest level of minor leagues.
Yes!
Okay. And so in the book he said, well, it was really easy because I had played up multiple seasons at like 17 and 18 years old in the Negro Leagues. And the Negro Leagues was like Major League Baseball. I mean, the players were so good that when he went to the minor leagues of Major League Baseball,
he's like
this is really easy. Like, these guys aren't nearly as good. And just to show tipping pitches, Satchel Paige. Now, this was when Willie had first came up with the Black Barons, and Satchel Paige is the best pitcher in the Negro Leagues. I thought this was a really fun story. Satchel Paige goes, hey, kid, three fastballs and you're sitting down. So he tells him exactly what's coming. Three fastballs, sat down, and he said, go sit down, kid. And Willie Mays was pretty much like, yes, sir.
Wow.
He's like, he was just so good. Like, and he was so young. He had never seen pitching like that before. The speed, the movement. And he was just like, yeah. So Satchel Paige, to put on a show, would even like tell like the new phenom kid in the Negro Leagues, like,
throwing
hey kid,
fastballs.
Here it comes. Three fastballs. Three.
There's nothing you can do.
And there's nothing you can do about it. And so, you know, those are kind of fun stories in this book to read about the Negro Leagues and everything like that. All right, let's get to the Texas Rangers. Cole Reagans pitches on YouTube yesterday. So I don't know how many people watched. It was a day game. Hopefully you listened here on 105.3 The Fan. It didn't go nearly as well as his first start.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It doesn't mean he's going to succeed. It doesn't mean he's going to fail. There's going to be hopefully another 5 to 8 more starts the rest of this year in the major leagues to give us a little bit better idea on what Cole Reagans can be to start 2023. And most guys take lumps when they come to the major leagues. It's not that easy to just come to the majors and immediately be successful and not have some bumps and bruises.
I know it could be for a variety of reasons, but do you think a lot of young pitchers run into that problem because of control and walks?
Yes.
Okay, because that's obviously hurt him the first couple of starts.
The other thing, too, is when you think about the team he faced yesterday, it's arguably the most disciplined team in Major League Baseball. So,
yeah.
And the White Sox are very good too. The White Sox are the best against left-handed pitching this year. Now that you're 110 games in, you have a really good idea on who's good and not good at certain things. So he is facing, and I believe the Astros are second in the American League off of hitting off the left-handers. So he did face for his first two starts, two teams that really like when left-handed okay. pitchers start against them. So it wasn't the end of the world. It wasn't a good start, but it wasn't the worst start in the world. It just wasn't kind of a build upon this. And then, oh my gosh, look what he did in Houston against the Astros. That being said, another guy who really struggled to start the year, luckily just got taken off the injured list, Julio Rodriguez is in Texas, will play against the Rangers tonight. I'm really excited about that. I'll be on the pregame on Bally Sports Southwest, and I was really hoping Julio Rodriguez would be healthy. I don't believe I've been to a Seattle game this year. Obviously, I've seen him play against the Rangers, yeah. but I don't think I've seen him live. It's one of those things where I might, if I have enough time after work and kind of get some things done, try to get there like at 5 o'clock to maybe go on the field and see what he looks like in person, as in up close sure.
now,
on
it,
the field.
It might be preposterous to make any real declarations, but from what you've seen, have you seen the flashes of why everyone is like, this kid could take over?
Yes. What'll be interesting is how great will he be, as in will he stay in the category of, oh, yeah, he's right there with Acuna, Soto, some of the younger great outfielders in the game. I know Mookie's in his prime. So you look at him and go, hey, what can Julio Rodriguez be? How much better can he be, or can he be as good as these guys making the All-Star team as a rookie? I mean, the guy who I'm in love with, also biased, is Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah. So Julio Rodriguez right now definitely has the front. He's leading in the rookie of the year voting, I would say, if you had to start right now, I think he'd win it pretty easily in the American League. But there's still time for this thing to play out where maybe Bobby Witt Jr. could steal it. But I wonder if the deciding factor will be, think about how bad the Rangers were last year at baseball, right?
Yes.
The third worst team in baseball. Yes. And then Adolis Garcia was like, we didn't even know he played baseball. Like, the voters were like, oh, there's a guy named Adolis Garcia in the major leagues? I don't even know who that person is. And so he wasn't even on the final three for what he did. So I just wonder if Julio Rodriguez will win it because the Mariners, just let's say they make the playoffs for the first time in 21 years.
I think
even if Bobby Witt Jr. had a great September and Julio Rodriguez kind of got caught in a lot of numbers, I wonder if they'd go, well, the Royals stink and the Mariners finally made the playoffs.
I think you really dismissed Spencer Torkelson's campaign for Rookie of the Year.
Did he hit a home run this year? My God.
Now, about lunch, you didn't bring that up.
Oh, yeah. Yet.
Remember, this is Kevin's last day, and Kevin, you like chicken?
For a few weeks, not forever.
Allegedly.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
You don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Could be my last day.
Kyle Shanahan told us that.
Still three more hours for me to say something.
That's a great point. That is the truest point that's been said so far in this first hour. Coming up next, we will get to more of your shout outs because there are a ton. Plus Antonio Brown, John Calipari, and Mark Cuban. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.